The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but you cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again, and he said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to say welcome to all of you who are our guests. I know we have some special family guests here this morning as we honor Sue for her 25 years of ministry. So we're going to come back to you in just a little bit. But what I want to start off with is pretty much everything I want to talk about today. Sue and her whole family, you embody what we're after when we talk about this thing called religion. And so kind of maybe let that flavor you as you're listening to it, but let it impact all of us too. That's what we're after. Now, when I use the word religion, there's a lot of people in our culture, maybe some of us here, who hear the word religion and we just like, ugh, you know, we back way off of it. It's maybe a bad word. People are anti-religion these days, right? Oh, they're spiritual, but no religion. And at a certain level, it's pretty understandable, because when you think about all of the atrocities that have been done in this history of the world in the name of religion, including Christianity, you can understand why people might feel that way. Or people perceive religion to just be a bunch of rules and legalisms and very oppressive things that you got to do. Or they look at people who are religious and they say, it's just fake, right? It's not real. It's not genuine. Well, Gandhi once said this, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Ouch. Ouch. Right? Hypocrisy is a real thing. But what I would suggest to you this morning is that it's not religion that is the problem. It's that it's not real and authentic and genuine. And so what we need, as I mentioned, as Pastor Veith mentioned, is what we're going to do the next few weeks is we need real religion. Put the letter A in there. We need it to be real. And we're going to be listening to James, and as we did in our second reading, the Gospel of Mark's going to flavor it, and they're going to help us out a little bit with this. Now, I think what a lot of people do, they hear the word religion, and they think of it as sort of this system of teachings and doctrines and practices and disciplines, and the whole point is that if you follow the rules and you follow these certain principles, you're going to find your way to the divine. And that's why you also hear people say things like, well, you know, all religions are the same. Well, I guess if that's the definition we use, that all, what do I got to do to reach the divine, to find enlightenment, if that's the definition, well then, yeah, all religions are the same, except one. Religion has to start at this point. So let's go back to James 1:17. All good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Think how many people, in their perception of God, they see him as judgmental, he's angry with us, He's inapproachable, he's indifferent, he's impersonal, he's distant, he's a pain. I would ask you to ask yourself right now, I mean, in your mind, when you think of God and you call him to mind, like, how do you really see him? How do you see his attitude towards you? What I'm about to say may seem obvious to some of us, but this is so foundational and so essential to everything. God is good. God is gracious. God is generous. That's real religion. That's where it starts. This is what sets Christianity apart from all the other world religions. Every other religion in the world is trying to climb their way to God. And Christianity says, no, 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 God climbed down to us. All good giving, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. In fact, the good and the perfect gift, God himself, came down from heaven to us, to the manger, to the cross, to the empty tomb, down into the pits and the depths of hell, so that he could take us and raise us up to God. That's real religion. It's God willingly and lovingly and graciously coming down to you. He's looking for you. He desires you. He wants you. That's the game changer. You may say, oh, yeah, I know that. No, 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 that's the game changer. It's when you realize this, or maybe, as I've had to do, rediscover it again and again. It's when you realize this truth, it changes everything. That's when it becomes real. That's when your faith becomes real. That's when you have a real relationship with the Lord. See, here's the move that God makes towards us. Verse 18. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He gives us birth. He makes us come alive. And then says, then we bear fruit. We become the first fruits. This means we're the proof. We're the evidence that God is real. So it begs a question of us. Right? Does my religion make a difference in my life? Right? I mean, can they actually see the proof? Do they see the evidence? Well, if you've got real religion, of course, it does. But here's how this happens. This is verse 21. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Again, real religion doesn't start with, what do I have to do? What am I supposed to do? Think about that. How many times somebody says something to you, and they make a proposal to you, and the first thing out of your mouth is, okay, well, what do I have to do? What do I got to do? How do I make an improvement? What I got to try harder. I need to get my act together. I've got to make more effort. That's it. That's the answer. No. What we have to do is let it be. Let it happen to us. Receive. Let God go to work on you. Let him plant his word deep in your heart. And for this, Mama Mary is our model. See, God comes to Mary and he makes this impossible proposal to her, that she, a virgin, is not only going to give birth, she's going to give birth to the very Son of God. And how does Mary respond? She does not say, well, what do I have to do? Mm-mm. No. She says, let it be. Let it be to me as you have spoken. And so our God moves, and the Holy Spirit comes down upon her and implants within her the very word of God, the very Son of God, who lives in her womb for 9 months. But see, her Son is implanted in her heart also forever. See, it's not what's implanted in us. It's always the who. When we think about the Word of God, sometimes we think, oh, the Word, that's the Bible, right? No. Ultimately, the Word, everything God wants to say to you, the Word is a person, and his name is Jesus. And as he is then implanted in you, he begins to grow in you. And that's why James says, then, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Real religion is not of just the head. It's not ideas and concepts and information and knowledge that you memorize and learn. It's more than that. You know what? But it's also not just in your heart, you know, tucked away nicely and planted there. What happens is that once Jesus is implanted in you, then he begins to animate your body and it moves to your hands. It goes, religion goes from your head to your heart to your hands. Play along with me. Do this with me, please. From your head to your heart to your hands. One more time. From your head to your heart to your hands. You feel like you're doing the Macarena in church? We all know this, don't we? We know this. But we don't do this. We don't. It's not one part. It's all three parts. It's the whole you. So James wraps up this reading, verse 27. He says, religion, religion, that is pure and is undefiled before God and the Father is this. It is to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. If we're going to have religion, then care for orphans and widows means having compassion and service and generosity to those who are in the greatest of needs, especially the vulnerable and the fragile. We're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. Keeping oneself unstained by the world means that we're not being affected by how the world thinks and how it operates, which is in opposition to God. It means we don't act like the rest of the world. But here's the thing. I mean, if there's nothing different about us and how we act, I mean, if we're just, you know, sleeping around and we're looking at porn and we're gossiping and we're raging on people and we're just greedily trying to get ahead in life and we're using people to do it and we're just all around jerks. Oh, but once a week we huddle up, friends, huddle up. Let's pray and be religious for an hour. We all know. I don't have to tell you. That's not real. It's not authentic. It's not genuine. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. And this is why Jesus was on the case of the Pharisees and the scribes in our gospel reading, right? They were ritually washing their hands. When it said they were washing their hands, we're not talking about hygiene, right? You know, wash your hands before dinner. No, they were ritually washing their hands. They were going around purifying everything with water for God. Oh, they were so squeaky clean and religious. But of course, Jesus, who sees everything, saw right through them. And he says some of the most, harshest words. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Ouch. Ouch. Jesus, Jesus, I do not want you to be far from me. I want you to be deeply implanted in my heart. Amen? He's about to offer it to you again. He's going to come down to us again. Will you let it be? Because you will receive him. He will enter your head via your mouth. Will you let him be implanted in your heart? Will you let him animate your hands this week? Just take a brief moment, if you would, my friends, and invite him. Invite him.